Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your mouth.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Hulk Hogan is here. Hulk Hogan became the world champion by being the first man to escape the Iron Sheik's camel clutch. That was great. Now, if only you had been smart enough to escape your wife's camel toe, you'd be a lot richer. In fact, Hulk, listen. It's the sound of a 19-year-old ball hitting your ex-wife's shed.
Why, yes, ladies and gentlemen, even the comedic world has their own slant on the immortal Hulk Hogan. We can't tell if it's a true roast on him because he's already brown, so how do you know when he's done? So, ladies and gentlemen, please do not adjust your internet. This is not a comedy channel. This is wrestling, as in the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And tonight I seem to be a tad short-handed. Typo, if you're out there, will you call in already? I will now point in the general direction of New York and to my man, Jason Block.
You know, it just really sucks that when a guy says, and he's going to come in and blow your house down, and when nothing happens, it's just awful.
And then I peek slightly to the north of me to my beleaguered colleague, Statman Josh Henniger.
Why must Toledo suck so many balls? 41-2.
So, I apologize, Josh, even though I have nothing to do with how bad Toledo sucks, but I sympathize because my high school football team was just as bad. Our school was so small we should have been listed with a lowercase a. Thank you for getting that. But let's talk about something a little more jolly. And in fact, I think, Jason, you're going to be the one to cheer us up, despite the fact that you are from New York City.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's start off, let's go back to this past Sunday. I had the pleasure, with my friend Joe, of going to a Raw house show. And nothing really huge was supposed to come out of it. I mean, heck, it was the night before Raw 900. The main event was supposed to be Cena and Jericho and Bryan versus the Nexus. And Orton versus Sheamus in the cage. Just so happens that Orton really didn't get to work. Orton was put in the tag, and Cena was in the main with Sheamus against the tag in the steel cage. And Jericho played full on face in this match. He called it the return of Y2J for the night. And he got the pin with Justin Gabriel against the walls, in the walls. Now, the reason for this was because the night before, in Wildwood, New Jersey, Randy Orton got his neck and shoulders nicked up in a lumberjack match with the Nexus. So he was being protected. He didn't even do an RKO. He did the punt kick instead. So, and then, I don't know if that's necessarily, so that was my Sunday. By the way.
And the word did leak out about that Orton was a little tender, and thankfully they put him in a light match, and as you saw, he worked fairly light on what was to be the 900th episode of Raw.
Of the longest episodic running, which is not necessarily true, it's the longest weekly episodic television or whatever the hell Michael Cole says.
Well, here's somebody who's about 900 seconds late. Mr. Mr. Typho, welcome.
Hello, everybody.
I apologize if my email did not get to you in time. I admit that I did not post it till last night.
No, I'm sorry. I had to go. I was in Target anyway and just got home, so, yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit late, but still in time to talk about the longest-running weekly episodic program on television.
As you know, regardless of whether or not that extended statement is true or not, 900 episodes is still insane, especially when you're talking about once a week, totally live, partially improvised, and some nights completely improvised.
Yes.
Broadcast of athletics.
It really is it is a legitimate feat, okay? Truly is. However, the way they celebrated it and the way they did it was just a little off, you know? I mean, it is pretty cool, the fact that they, and you know, there are no reruns. You know, they never rerun the shows. It's produced every week. I mean, put it to you this way. We're talking at least over 2,000 hours of programming right there.
Exactly. And as somebody who's been in the television business, live sports is the most difficult type of program to produce. Now, Vince has a slight advantage in the fact that he has total control, or I'll say 99% control, of what's going on out there. But for every night that things go without a hitch, there are nights where there's sweating, scrambling, and writing and rewriting, and people getting their promo info, you know, 30 minutes in. So the fact that their show has not imploded completely at any point that we're aware is enormous. I mean, Typho, can you think of a show that just was so completely off kilter that we'd notice?
That lasted any length of time, like Raw?
Well, no, I'm talking, since Raw is a live-produced show, can you think of any show out of all the years that you've been watching that you just sat there and went, what in the world is going on here? And not in the sense that you guys both had both hands on your forehead going, God help me.
I can think of some of the early Raws that I watched where, I mean, I was 7, 8, 9 years old, and even then I'm like, what, why? I mean, I'm watching, like, the Bastion Booger versus Marty Jannetty headlining the show.
There you go.
Of course, that was in the days of squash matches, so I'm Marty Jannetty versus the Bastion Booger is, like, pay-per-view quality, basically.
Josh, can you think of one off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. Not immediately, anyway.
I will throw in this. I have been lucky enough to be at, in my opinion, 3 of the most important Raws in history, if you want to give it that. I believe I was at the ECW Invasion Raw at the Manhattan Center in 95, live. I also was at the Stunner Heard Round the World in 96.
Okay.
And I was also at the infamous Triple H Raw of 2002, live, at MSG.
To which I am still insanely jealous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there have been an insane amount of important Raws. And I also was at the Raw where I believe Kane Unmasked, live.
I caught the show the following week when I think that was the show that he either tombstoned Linda or threw Rob through the set. It might have been both.
If it counts for anything, I was at the Raw the week before Kane's Unmasking, where they set up the match, and the main event was Kane and RVD against La Resistance.
But, you know, you have to, you're right. I mean, none of the Raws over the way, I mean, some of them looked, you know, again, cheap, but, you know, but again, production values increased over the years. But none of them really looked like, you know, oh my God, this is out of control. You know? Unbelievable. It's a credit to the production staff.
I can think of one, but it's not. It wasn't really their fault. It was the network's fault.
And that
it was a Raw in, I want to say, 03, when they were on Spike, where they had, okay, like, literally, like, a 25-minute spot for Joe Schmo.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was to the point where they actually put on a, like, some match with, I think, Tajiri and the A-Train for the live crowd, because the thing was going so long. Just so the live crowd wouldn't get bored and leave or something.
I can only think of two. One of them was the network's fault. They had there was a glitch somewhere down the line, and we had about 10, 12 minutes of commercials. And they came back up, and King looked around and said, well, where have we been?
There's the infamous technical difficulties Raw from back in probably 02, 03, that spawned the WrestleCraft Forum trend.
Yes. There's also, I think the only show that I was really, really confused about was Austin's first walkout. We didn't know until...
I was kind of there for that sort. Or no, I was there the week before his last Raw, I guess. He walked out the following week, but he beat Ric Flair in the main event, and Flair was supposed to be his servant or something like that. But
right, and nothing came of it, and I think Flair had a match with Vince for control of the company.
Yeah, they had to switch everything around. Also on that Raw, I was at, by the way, Austin did pee on Arn Anderson.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Great moment in history.
So, I'm actually trying to, I'm kind of proving a point here. We can think of all these wonderful moments, good, bad, indifferent, and downright ugly. But I noticed, and I know you noticed, Jason, that the WWE didn't really focus on a whole lot of major events. They didn't pull up a whole lot of history.
That, I think, was a purposeful moment because I think they were looking towards the future because if they wanted to look towards the past, they couldn't bring any of the names that were associated with a lot of the more successful past eras, such as The Rock, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, by the way, CM Punk, God love you. That was great stuff. I mean, when I heard the music break, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's see it. Let's have some fun. But they didn't. It felt underwhelming, you know?
Well, even, you know, and, you know, this isn't mainstream, but Austin, you know, went ahead and put Punk over on his Twitter and said, you know, hey, you want to play my music? Go for it.
Yeah.
He's essentially saying, I have no intention or interest to come back right now. Shawn Michaels said that he wasn't going to be there. I fully expected Hunter to show up, and he didn't.
I think the biggest omission, and I think a lot of people agree with this, was no Jim Ross. Should have been there the whole nine yards. Should have been there.
He could have.
Should have brought him out as a early 99 heel Jim Ross and build his own announce table in front of Waller and Cole matches himself.
I would have settled for him just walking out there punching Cole's lights out and taking his rightful seat for one night.
He did low blow him back in 99 one time. I'd be up for that again.
So, you know, I give them credit for that. They are focusing on the future, something that people have been asking for years.
And I will say this, though. I did like the nice touch of trying to put Bret Hart versus The Undertaker on as a match, because I believe they are the only two people left from that era. Historically, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that was nice. Match didn't happen, but it was nice.
I think the show was missing Finkel, too. And he could have easily been brought in.
And I don't understand, you know, I don't think they would have had to twist his arm very hard to come out there and announce one match, even if it was just the main.
Or even, you know, put Lillian Garcia back for a night, too, like she did for the Volcano earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember, she's in California now, although admittedly they could have made the phone call. They probably would have paid for her flight, so it wouldn't have been a big deal. But it still was a fun show. At least I enjoyed it. It wasn't what I was expecting, but it was still a good Raw.
It wasn't bad. I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. I really did. It's one of those things where, you know, it wasn't the blowaway that they made it wanted out to be. And, you know, if they bet one more statistic that flipped around, I mean, it was twisting the truth. I thought it was going to be watching a political campaign.
Linda's not there. Oh, wait.
I went to the Raw homecoming back in 2005 when they went back to USA. I mean, they pulled out everything they could and threw it at that show, so I was expecting something like this for 900 since they've been building it, but that's why I was kind of underwhelmed, because, I mean, Homecoming, they just threw out anything they could find. Hogan, Austin, every legend they could cook up. Foley came back. Piper came back. They had Iron Man matches and ladder matches.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the fact that it was 2 hours said something, you know? Should have been three.
Well, I'll give them this much credit. I was at the actual 800th episode, not the celebration. I have the Did You Know screen to prove it.
I know.
I was at the actual 800th show, and it was just another Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be at Raws number 902 and 903 coming up here at Cincinnati and Indianapolis, respectively.
Yay.
So I'll be bookending Night of Champions. Hopefully I'll get some good stuff out of that.
One thing about Raw 900, I'm happy that the Nexus got the win in the main event. It gives me some hope for their immediate survival for a little while longer. But I got to say, I'm very, very, very tired of every elimination match going through the rapid elimination sequence.
Somebody...
Seriously, come up with a new spot, please.
Well, I'm wondering if the refs are giving time cues, because that's too many times that's happened. Somebody's not doing their job.
I will say, when Gabriel pinned John Cena with a 450, my head almost exploded. I wasn't sure what I was seeing.
That was awesome. That was good. I'll take that.
Now, let's see. Flipping over to Tuesday night, I'll just step forward and put out huge, huge congratulations to Cabal, somebody who, yes, definitely deserves winning NXT 2.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Riley, you're TV ready, but the fan vote's what killed you.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, I'm sorry, Joe. You need your dad. You need a charisma implant from your dad.
Yeah,
he's in his moment. This moment right here. This moment right now. This moment is his. This is his moment.
The moment of McGillicuddy. If he would have said, "Joe," Thank
you.
You
said it,
Cuddy. I know. You suck. Thank you. I deserve that because, let me tell you, he should have said the words, this is the moment that Joe Hennig comes back. Something like that.
Then they just forget it the next week, like when Daniel Bryan became Bryan Danielson after he got eliminated. But then mysteriously was Daniel Bryan once again.
As word comes in from the chat room that Joe was essentially making it look like he was going to establish a second chapter of Nexus. I don't think Wade Barrett wants an NWOB team. Josh, what do you think? Would this work if we had essentially a Nexus B team, Genesis?
The magic word is no. The Genesis or whatever the heck they're going to be calling themselves won't work. Mainly because you've got a bunch of guys who just aren't meant to be there. Titus O'Neil, really? Lucky Cannon? I don't even know what you said because I was zoning out. But yeah, it's not worth it. Genexus should just quit. Just let Hennig and Husky Harris go after him. Maybe Riley too.
I'd rather just hand them black and yellow shirts and have Barrett refill his ranks, because Husky Harris had hinted during season 2 that he understood where Barrett was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And would be an adequate replacement for Sheffield while he's still laid up with a bad ankle. Cannon is trying too hard to be a heel, and it's just not working for him. Riley, like I said, personally, I'd even take him going home for a couple of months. Let's just repackage him as Miz's brother and have him come back. I mean, am I the only one who noticed this, that Alex Riley and Miz could be brothers? Cricket?
I can see that.
Building to a future storyline where we learn that Vince McMahon is both of their fathers.
No, but you know what? I love Miz Light. I love Miz Light. Cabal, good stuff to me. Nexus 2.0, what was someone calling it?
I've heard Genesis, Genexus was Josh's contribution.
Someone called it Nexus 2.0, what was it, Nexus 2.0?
The Botch Kings.
Oh, God.
somebody get Matthew on the phone.
Nikki, when you talk about TNA, remind me of something that was announced regarding TNA.
I can do that.
Okay.
But next, we're going to go to Typho's favorite part, the fact that NXT is going to attempt an All Divas Season 3.
They want to be Wrestlicious so bad.
I got to get your opinion on this, Typho. The choices of pros amused me no end in the fact that the Bellas have been there all of 2 years, or is it just a year? And Alicia Fox.
It's about two.
Okay, and Alicia Fox has been there maybe as long, and has only been wrestling for about 7 or 8 months.
Yep. Kelly's a veteran.
At 3.5 years. Although I'll give props to having Vicky Guerrero as a pro. That actually amuses me.
Mm-hmm.
That amuses me a lot. Goldust as a pro amuses me even more What were they on when they picked Primo? Did he just keep bugging them until they said yes?
I like to think they were just walking around backstage, and they're like, we need another pro. Okay, next person we see. He just happens to walk out. They're like, you, what's your name? Primo, I work for you. You'll do.
And also, Primo looked pretty much like a creepy pedo guy.
Ew.
In the profile. He looked creepy.
Are you saying
he's going to be Vance Archer's new tag team partner?
Is he the pedo bear? I mean, what? I mean, good lord.
Close
well,
enough.
The fact that he's got the porn stash and a chin patch. You know that all we needed was Chris Hansen to walk out and say this isn't going to work.
Oh jeez!
It doesn't help that his rookie is about 4'11" and looks like she's in high school.
Yeah. Although Vicky's pro is Ludmila, the Slobovian rabbit, okay?
But wait.
Ah, yes. I'm sorry. You caught me off guard. But wait.
I'm sorry to tell you, Jason, but Aloysia, Vicky Guerrero's original diva, well, she got fired. Technically, it was very, very worked by Vicky Guerrero because Aloysia looked to pretty much usurp Vicky Guerrero. So Guerrero's going to be introducing a new diva this Tuesday, and something tells me Aloysia's going to be coming back very quickly.
Aloysia come back and destroy every one of you, even Moose and Squirrel.
She'll be added to the show with her new pro, the Great Khali.
No, her new pro needs to be Hornswoggle.
That would be funny, okay?
That amuses me. Since Ray is laid out, we will get to that. Ray is out.
Yay!
So, yeah, can we have a win for that, please?
About Ray being out?
Yes.
No.
Okay. You have said on many occasions...
Give you a win for Hornswoggle managing Aloysia. How's that?
Okay.
That'll work.
But, I mean, look, didn't you say that Ray was, you know, injuring people? He took out The Undertaker for the summer. He took out CM Punk. And he's been working hard for God knows how long, right?
He killed Jack Ryder's push.
Well, I have reason to believe that Mysterio got all this extra stuff just because he managed to get the game genie out of Batista's bag before he left.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Apparently, they had to keep him on until they debuted Alberto Del Rio, because I guess it's a... They have a one Mexican per SmackDown limit or something. Like, oh, Del Rio's here. Let's get Mysterio off.
And by the way, yes, Del Rio on SmackDown this week was fashionably correct. It's not after Labor Day.
Yeah, but he's kind of close.
although I did like the suit.
I did, too. I also liked Christian's promo, so I've got to play this for him.
Yes.
For three words, Juan Bradshaw Layfield.
Yeah. That was good. That was excellent.
Just fantastic, fantastic stuff. Let me jump back over to NXT real quick. This was part of the reason I got you on the show, Typho, because you probably know the most about these gals out of all of us. Maybe? Hopefully?
Probably. I would assume.
If you were judging this competition, who would you happily hand the trophy to?
I guess based on overall talent presently.
Right.
I would have to say I mean, I've seen all six of them, right?
Yes.
Six or seven?
Or
six?
Five right now.
Technically
seven, the fact that Vicky's going to have two different people here.
Right. Well, I can't predict who that'll be because I think they've pretty much drained FCW, so they must be
looking
for
somewhere else. The rumor is cheerleader Melissa as Tina. But we'll see.
Well, if it was her, I'd hand her the trophy pretty much day one. But out of what we know, I've seen five of them pretty extensively. Aloisa, I've only seen, like, clips of, because she hasn't actually been in FCW. But out of the ones we know, I would give it to AJ Lee, because she's probably overall the most talented. But if we're going typo personal preference here, I give the trophy to Jamie Keys.
Just to get,
that's my right, and I can give it to who I want.
No, that's fine. I'd give it to her just to get the microphone away from her. wow.
My, oh my.
So, I just wanted an opinion just so I know who to watch. Because Jamie, if I remember correctly, she's the one who's just crazy stacked.
Yeah.
She's really cut. She's really athletic looking. She actually looks like she belongs in the ring.
Yeah, that's the reason I think she'll be successful, because she doesn't look like somebody who's going to break in half when you touch them, like some that I won't mention names of. But she looks like athletically she can hang with anybody and belongs there. And AJ Lee is the smallest of the bunch, but talent-wise, she's at the top, I would say.
All right. Well, they've only got five...
Liviana, or Maxine, I think, is her new name. I've seen her pretty much only as a valet. I haven't really seen many matches from her, so I'm honestly not sure what she can do.
No, that's fine.
Kind of like Rosa Mendez, I guess. I haven't really seen much of her in the ring, but I've seen her a lot as a valet.
Which, unfortunately, is about my extent when it comes to Rosa as well. I've only seen her wrestle like once or twice. And sometimes when she's in the ring, it's just a comedy segment like Duck Duck Goose Mahoney or, oh, God, his name just flew right out of my head. Estrada says. Armando says. Yes, OVW just has just as much fun with their divas as the WWE does. Oh.
I will also say, Goldust rookie Oksana, I think that she eventually could become the best of the bunch. But she's still pretty inexperienced right now. But
okay.
I've seen flashes of brilliance, I guess you could say, that if she can put it all together, she can be pretty good, I think. And she was the Tony Atlas laugh track for Abraham Washington's show in FCW after Atlas got fired.
Okay. I'm going to come back to TNA, mainly because I only half watched the show since Faction Mania is running wild. And this whole, when the comment was made that whoever they are going to turn TNA upside down, how many times have they done that?
Too many.
I'm pretty sure Dixie Carter's had at least 735 different tweets about TNA changing forever in the last year.
And
it's
not
changed once.
Although, if they think...
I'm sorry, an interesting tweet from Beth Phoenix. So was Aloisha the Amazon fired by Vicky, or did she quit? Maybe she was scared to face the Glamazon if she won. Can't blame her.
Given that Beth, that's only a month out, so...
She could show up and just stay on for a while.
Yeah.
Not rest or anything.
Right. She's due back somewhere in October, so they could, you know, they could bring her in before bragging rights or right after. It's, you know, they've got plenty of room to go ahead. They've got plenty of room to maneuver to get her in there. But yeah, TNA is just, you know, I want to like TNA. I do want to like TNA. I don't, you know, I'm trying, you know, I'm trying. But, Mr. Forth has the right idea. Changing for, TNA changes forever. It gets bought out by the WWE. Oh, ow.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only real changing forever they're ever going to do.
The very face TNA is in Vince McMahon's hands.
He
can even recycle his promo on Jeff Jarrett from the WCW buyout Raw.
Ouch. Although, do we know, will that really happen? Not this week. Give it another couple of months. But I'm going to jump over to SmackDown. I'm probably one of the, in the minority in the fact that I am just so digging what's going on with the Kane-Undertaker mess leading up to Night of Champions.
Join the club. I'm loving it. I think the star of this hasn't been Undertaker. It's been Kane. Kane, once he got the world title and got this thing, has been amazing in his promos. Unbelievably good in, you know, being the, you know, the jilted brother who is now finally, quote-unquote, taken the power away from Undertaker.
And they showed us literally the fact that Monday night, he teleported. Tonight, he teleported. And even had control of Taker's druids. A quite literal show of power that Taker has no powers because I have them now. Now, I did read an interview that got posted over on the WrestleCrap forum where Kane is absolutely enjoying what he's doing right now. He absolutely loves the position he's in, not just because he's champion, but he really gets to, you know, the fact that they're giving him the time to talk. They're giving him the opportunity to really show what the man is capable of. After almost 10 years of just being... Build him up as a monster, job. Build him up, job.
Katie Vick. Not nuts, you know?
The Katie Vick debacle, the unmasking storyline.
Lita's baby.
Lita's baby, the interactions with Shano.
Although those were fun.
I'm talking.
His baby got a Snitsky, so I can't hate it much.
Kane and Lita's wedding got a Snitsky reading poetry.
In a cut-off suit.
Yes, in a sleeveless tuxedo. That's just made of wind. But now Kane is, you know, Kane is, for lack of a better term, the top dog. And... as you know, as the article said, he's happy, he's very satisfied with where he is, and pretty much told us he's not going anywhere. He's going to be around for a couple more years. This is not if this is a retirement angle, it ain't for Kane. Although we have all the way on the opposite side of the spectrum, Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm. And his spare tire.
Well, according to a tweet he just posted, he's supposedly having more digestive issues.
So, and the announcers did make a point of saying that he, you know, that he's having some issues, that he hasn't been able to get in the gym to work out, if the ankle thing is legit, if he's still having problems with the abdominal wall. I really think this might be something that he really needs to step away from the ring from. Charles Robinson had severe abdominal tears from his brief stint as Little Nate. That's why he's a referee now. And if there's still all those issues with Matt seriously needs to take 6 months, get done what needs to get done.
Absolutely.
Something I'm wondering, in wrestling, of course, we have the Jim Cornette 7-year rule on recycling angles. I think Creative's taken it and tried to turn it into the 7-month rule, but has it even been 7 months since Piggy James?
No. It hasn't. And Cody Rhodes reads wrestle crap and stole about half of their jokes.
He was Scott Steiner, he's fat clip away from just taking all our material.
You read my mind. I was about to say the only thing he didn't do was a Scott Steiner impersonation. He's fat!
Although I'm liking Dashing Cody Rhodes as a gimmick. And he can wrestle too.
I like his new jacket with the mirror on the back.
That blows my mind. That jacket that hurts my brain.
I thought the Brian Kendrick's jacket was awesome, but this one's even better.
I'll call Segway then. Let us take a quick peek at TNA. As I said, Faction Mania is running wild.
Before we get into Faction Mania, I have a question for you. According to this week, Dixie Carter tweeted that TNA Impact is going live starting October 7th. Thoughts?
Will it change the face of TNA forever?
No.
Let's see. I think the panel already has an answer for that. More power to them. If they want to go live, if Bischoff has gotten everything configured in such a way that they can't screw it up too badly. After a couple of other live attempts, such as the January 4th show. And
Monday Night Wars.
Monday Night Wars 2.0, and a show that we've got in Room 101, the Vegas show, that half the cast did drunk.
Really, huh?
As if
half.
My understanding. Huh?
Half? Are you going a little low there?
Sued them all for gimmick infringement that night.
Yeah, seriously. I think the only sober person there that night was Angle. I think he was pissed. Or was it Sting? It's in Room 101. I don't feel like going and getting it. But, so, you know, as long as they can avoid fiascos like that, you know, more power to them. So, let's see. So, faction after faction after faction, and then they built a card. As we come up to No Surrender, as I look at the poster, and I have an asshole screaming at me.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly.
So I will skip that silliness, and let's go to the card. Here we go. Josh, are you ready to rail this down?
Yes.
Okay, chat room, the pick'ems are coming. You've been warned.
And just one question, should I do just the guys who are usually on or what?
Let's see, how many?
There's, of course, Jim, DJ in there, Mr. Fourth, I've got a, you know, already put on. I think that's everyone we usually have. Do we do the other two? Question mark.
Well, I don't know. Chat room. Newcomers. If you come back next week, you can participate. Is that okay with you, Josh?
Yes, it's fine with me.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get this started because we've got about 15 minutes. Let me see what I've got here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the last three I'm going to have to combine because they all work into each other.
Okay. Steve from Cali doesn't care, so he's off. Sorry, man. I understand you don't give a poop, but it was just for... But yeah, Slim RJS, if you want to do it, go ahead. Just come back next week.
Yeah. So, okay. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I'm coming up with points here. 11 points.
Oh, wow. 11?
What the hell? Mainly
because we've got two different tag matches.
Yeah.
And then the tournament stuff is a three-pointer. The World Heavyweight Championship stuff at the top is 3 points in its own right.
Wait a minute. We're having the main event at this pay-per-view?
No, it's at Bound for Glory.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Sorry.
So, 8 matches, 10 points.
Yeah. 2, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. 10 points. My apologies. Starting at the bottom of the page with the grudge match, Velvet Sky versus Madison Rayne. The beautiful people have reunited, and Madison Rayne now has her bodyguard in Tara, who was revealed at this past week's Impact. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of interference in here, but I'm just interested in the winner. Josh, what do you think?
I am picking Madison Rayne after Motorcycle McGee. I mean, Tara does shenanigans against whichever one the beautiful people is still in, question mark, I don't know, and I just don't care.
Fair enough. And, oh, by the way, half points are still allowed, so typo.
Madison Rayne.
Madison Rayne wins the match, but Tara wins for just being in that leather bodysuit. Wow. That MMA workout's really working good for her.
Let's see. Yeah, I'll throw my head in and I'll pick Madison Rayne.
Okay, so that's both of you for Madison Rayne. Has Fourth picked? Everyone picks Madison Rayne except for Slim RJS, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't care by now. Because he picked Mickey James out of anyone, really. No.
Okay. Well,
it is Vince Russo booking.
True, but he wouldn't be that stupid, would he?
Do you really want to ask that question?
You know he's listening, and he'll take that as a challenge.
Okay.
So let me move on to the next match before this gets any sillier. Falls Count Anywhere. Abyss versus Rhino. Now, I believe this was the one Rhino's taking Sandman's place because Sandman is no longer involved with EV 2.0 or TNA in general. But it's nice to see that Rhino, who's been there for almost 5 years, has something to do. Abyss, of course, is on his crazy monster push with a weapon that he can't even use on TV. And Rhino's got to try to stop him. What do you think, Josh?
The Abyss wins after Janice comes out. And Rhino gets chock full of holes.
Typho?
Abyss wins. Rhino, I don't think, is allowed to win matches.
Probably not. Jason?
With Abyss being the voice of them, they, it, or whatever, no way he's losing. Abyss wins.
I'm with you guys. Abyss is going to win because they are probably going to get involved, whoever they might be.
And once again, we have ourselves a clean sweep. Everybody picks Abyss.
Let's see. Next stop. Tag team match. Sting and Kevin Nash versus Jeff Jarrett and Samoa Joe. Joe has been professing his independence. Sting and Kevin Nash have been on some kind of bizarre power trip. Then again, Nash never stops on the power trip, including his slightly schwarky promo a couple of weeks ago saying, everybody thinks I'm just here for the money.
Well, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the wrong company for that.
Thank you, Typho. This is a two-pointer. Which team wins? And who gets pinned? Josh?
I think that Sting and Nash will win, and because Joe's going to just say, F it, leave, Jarrett's going to be staring at lights.
That sounds about right. You agree with that, Typho?
Basically, I say Sting and Nash do win, Team Wolfpack. And Jeff Jarrett gets pinned because Samoa Joe turns on him.
And since he loves the heel face revolving door, I think that's just as likely. Jason?
Josh had it exactly 100% right. Joe leaves, becomes, you know, Samoa Joe, you know, loner on the crusade, the whole nine yards. And Jarrett gets, you know, stuffed in lights so he can maybe go on his honeymoon with Karen Angle. Now Karen Jarrett.
I think I'm going to throw my head in with the same thing. Sting and Nash win. Jarrett is getting pinned.
All right. And from the chat land, one second, please. Fourth has Joe pinning Nash in probably the worst pick of the night. DJ has Sting and Nash winning over Jarrett. And Jim also has done the worst pick of the night. Jarrett, Joe Wynn, Penny Nash.
Interesting. We'll see how that shakes out. Let's see. Next up we have the X Division Championship. Douglas Williams defending his title against Sabu. Now, this one's probably going to be a sweep, too, isn't it, Josh?
It better be a sweep. The finest thing in life, Douglas Williams wins.
Typho?
TNA is crazy from time to time, but they're not crazy enough to give Sabu a belt. Douglas Williams wins.
Jason, I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely, I do. Doug Williams, I mean, love Sabu, not holding the belt. Williams.
Sabu is very limited in what he can do, so even if he did win, they wouldn't be able to do much with it. So, no, Williams retains.
Break out your brooms! Everyone picks Douglas Williams. Next match.
Next match, I Quit match. AJ Styles versus Tommy Dreamer. AJ, who is now the voice of Fortune.
Fortune?
I don't go there. Please don't go there.
Okay.
AJ, who is the voice of Fortune, is apparently kind of miffed that EV 2.0 has a beef with them, doesn't think they should have one. So he decides to pick on the one guy who has zero feelings of pain. If I remember correctly, half the time Tommy just doesn't feel it. Has anybody told AJ this? Is that going to be enough for Tommy to get AJ say I quit, Josh?
No. No. Styles will win handily, mainly because Dreamer wants to put over everyone he can nowadays.
Typho, do you agree with that?
It's strange because logic says Dreamer should win because he's jobbed a lot. I can't see it, but I think I'd regret going the other way, so I'm going to say Tommy Dreamer does win.
Jason, what do you got for me?
What I got is Styles making Mr. Dreamer say I quit after he's a bloody mess. Oh, and by the way, there also might be a way where his wife or kids get involved some way, somehow.
Oh, no.
Why not? Throw that in there, too.
His wife, maybe his kids, I can't
see. Yeah, his wife, Francine. Yeah. Bueller, rather. You know,
I will actually, I'm going to give Tommy the win because I can just, I'm picturing the, thank you, sir, me, I have another spot. Being reprised to the point that after several shots of this, Tommy just snaps and goes after AJ. And in a JBL Cena moment, AJ just picks up the microphone, says, "You're crazy. I quit. You're going to kill me. I quit."
All right. Styles is picked by myself, Jason, Fourth, and Jim, Nikki, Typho, and DJ. Pick Dreamer. We need to hurry it up. Next match.
World Tag, yes, we do. We need to pick it up. TNA World Tag Team titles. I'm going to change this back to a one-pointer. Mercenary Machine Guns against Wolf and Magnus. Who wins? Make it quick, Josh.
London Brawling is too new. Murder City wins.
Typho.
MCMG.
Jason.
Guns. Big.
Yeah, give it to the guns.
All right, and I'll pick up Fourth, Jim, and DJs a little bit later. Next.
Okay. These are semifinals, so this is 2 points. Angle versus Hardy, Anderson versus Pope. Pick your two guys that are going to Bound for Glory, Josh.
Angle faces Anderson.
Typho.
Angle and Anderson.
Jason.
Angle and Anderson.
1 second, please. I will lose you otherwise. All right, next.
I'm going to lean in a slightly different direction. I want Angle Pope.
I don't blame you. All right, okay, DJ picks Angle and Anderson. Mr. Fourth picks Angle and Anderson. And Jim picks Angle and Anderson. And that is the entire card.
I don't see myself ordering this pay-per-view, especially after all the sweeps I just saw. But, you know, we'll see how all this shakes out with next week's show. I thank the chat room for everybody for showing up. Please come back next week because we can be just as silly every single time. I promise.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, gentlemen, for showing up tonight. Typho, it's cool that you're late. I won't hold it against you. Not this time.
Okay.
So, North American Wrestling Connection, we're done, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, all. and see you next week.
Night.
Good night.
And I really, seriously, I do appreciate it, guys.
Right.
But I'm not going to stay because I have to work all weekend.
All right. Take care. And good night, everyone.
Gosh.
Screw you,
Typho, thanks again.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Night, man.
Okay. Good
Jason. Night.
Jason, I'll just catch you when I am. Ah, screw it. Night, all.
Night.